Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, speaking with Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. She's in Palau, in Oceania, in the Pacific. And the report that we're looking to explain, her testimony before the U.S. Congress subcommittee on this part of the world and its vulnerability to the malign activity of the People's Republic of China, preparing the ground or the ocean for kinetic conflict over Taiwan. The report is how the compacts of free association, that would be Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Palau, support U.S. interests and counter the PRC's influence. We start with the Marshall Islands. This is the part of the world that saw numerous nuclear weapons tests following the Second War, badly abusing the ecosystem, and the legacy remains in the Marshall Islands of the U.S. using it as a test zone for nuclear weapons, atmospheric nuclear weapons. Some of the biggest explosions that the U.S. ever conducted were in the Marshall Islands. However, today, the Marshall Islands are a major target of the People's Republic of China. And Cleo tells the not entertaining story of two Chinese nationals, whom I think of as Boris and Natasha, who come to the Marshall Islands to use influence peddling, bribery, underhandedness, probably organized crime, as Cleo has indicated, to piece apart the Marshall Islands made up of a number of provinces. And they were apprehended, but that hasn't ended their efforts. Cleo, introduce us to Boris and Natasha and what we know so far about what they intend for the Marshalls.
This is really an astounding story. So around 2016, this man and this woman, Gina Zhu and Carrie Yan, set up an NGO that was based in New York and was affiliated somehow, they claim, to the UN. And they had, at the launch, they had the Prime Minister of Bangladesh gave a talk, and there have been associated with several high-profile people, including there was a Twitter photo of them meeting with the president of Kiribati. But the focus was really, the public focus that we've seen was really on the Marshall Islands. And they identified one of these atolls that had suffered during the nuclear testing. There had been some fallout. And so population had moved away and then had come back. It was diminished. It was very difficult to get any economic development. And they said, we've got a great idea. Let's set up this special economic zone where we control immigration and we control customs and all sorts of access points and basically set up a country within a country. And they brought legislators from the Marshall Islands to Hong Kong to sell them on this two systems, one country idea, basically saying we're going to set up a Hong Kong inside the Marshalls that we control. Now, remember, Marshalls is, first of all, a country that recognizes Taiwan. Second of all, it's a country that hosts the Kwajalein Ronald Reagan missile test site. It's a critical component of U.S. defense infrastructure. And they started bribing people and came within one vote in the legislature in the Marshall Islands of getting their thing passed. The president at the time stood up to them. And then there was an effort made and she lost the next election. And they were in the process of ramping up again to keep it going and were on their way. And then COVID stepped in and the FBI stepped in and arrested them when they were in the Philippines, where they were had another project going on at the same time, extradited them to New York and put them on trial, or should have put them on trial, but instead gave them a plea deal. And they got credit for time served in Philippines. And Gina Zhu, the woman, after being found guilty of bribing people in the Marshall Islands to completely undermine the U.S. position and set up a country within a country, in their infinite wisdom, the U.S. deported her back to the Marshall Islands, without giving the Attorney General of the Marshall Islands the information he needed either to prosecute her or the people she had bribed. So we're heading into an election in the Marshall Islands. We're also in this period where the compacts are being renewed. Marshall Islands has not renewed the compacts. They're heading into an election, and the U.S. has sent what looks for all the world like a Chinese agent back to the Marshall Islands to continue perhaps along her merry way in the lead up to the next election.
And we have no reason to believe that when Jan finishes his obligation, he won't be deported back to the Marshall Islands where he can start his subterfuge again. We need to move to Micronesia. This is the state that I believe that does recognize Beijing over Taipei. And you identify in your testimony an extraordinary letter written in March of this year by a man named Panuelo. Who is he?
He was at the time the president of the Federated States of Micronesia. And this is actually his third letter. Over the course of a year, he's written letters trying to raise the alarm about what China has done to his country in the region. And this third letter in particular, it's 13 pages long. The first 11 pages or so detail political warfare on the ground that include things like China backing separatist movements, trying to undermine his government from the inside, going around him. There's one international conference where he didn't want to send anybody. And so China selected a citizen of Micronesia to represent the country of Micronesia without the knowledge of the government of Micronesia. Just kind of incredible stuff. And in the last two pages, he offers to basically recognize Taiwan, to shift away from China, and what it would take to do that. And the thing about that story is the U.S. didn't encourage it. So we could have had this corridor of freedom reinforced with recognition of Taiwan that stretched all the way across the middle of the Pacific to treaty allies, Japan and the Philippines, Guam and Marianas. But even though he was begging, basically, for his country to be liberated from the second attack, this time through political warfare, but no less corrosive and disruptive in terms of freedom across the region. And nobody did anything. And his term ended, and now a new administration has come in.
And is there an explanation from State Department why there was no response to his letter?
Nope.
All right, then we move to Palau, where you are happily situated right now. Palau is a critical player in this corridor of freedom and has been recognized by European powers and now Chinese powers as the node that you must secure in order to seal off Guam. Remember, to the north is the center of U.S. resupply and warfare to the north of the corridor of freedom. And we're speaking of Palau. It's been German, it's been Japanese, and now it is associated with America. But the president of Palau also reporting on to the United States about what is underway, how the Chinese are seeking to undermine Palau. His name is Sorengel Whips, and he has written or conveyed to the United States what is needed for his people following the pandemic. What is he asking for, and what has happened, Cleo?
Palau is stunningly beautiful. I mean, they're all beautiful. Palau is kind of known to be quite beautiful and is very relatively easy to get to. It's sort of a little over a three-hour flight from Manila. It's about a little over a three-hour flight from Taipei. They built up quite a tourism industry. But what happened was the Chinese, and again, remember, this is a country that recognizes Taiwan, latched onto it and went from kind of 1% of the tourism sector to over 50%, very deliberately targeted building up of tourism in Palau by Chinese tourists. And then in 2017, pulled them in order to force the government of Palau to de-recognize Taiwan and recognize China. It crashed the economy. It's been a real problem. And then came COVID. So now he's trying to rebuild the tourism sector afterwards. The hotels are at about 30% of what they were pre-COVID. And so he went to Korea to ask for flights. He's just come back from Japan to ask for direct flights. And everybody's slow. But in the meantime, these Chinese entities are knocking on the door to try to get in. As I mentioned, the charter flights have just restarted. That flight from Macau was one of these charter flights. And when I arrived here, I couldn't get a SIM card. Like, you know, when you get to a new country, you get kind of a local SIM card for your phone, because those charter flights full of Chinese had bought up all of the SIM cards.
So what don't know what they're doing. What we're looking at then is China using tourism as a tool to undermine a democracy. I want to use some numbers here to give understanding of how crude this tool is and how effective. According to Clio's reporting to Congress, in 2008, there were 634 tourists from mainland China. By 2015, there were 91,000. That is the number that was climbing until China pulled all of them in 2017. We're now looking at the President Whips looking to return to the tourist business of pre-pandemic, and he needs something very specific. This is humbling. It's how modest his request. You have a runway, Cleo. What does he want to do with the runway?
The runway is about 2,100 feet, and he wants it meters, and he wants it extended to 3,000, which would also serve U.S. military purposes. They could land the F-35s here. And I just say the thing about these charter flights with the Chinese tourists out of Macau, and I've heard this from a couple of different sources, is there seem to be a lot less people flying back to China than arrived on the flights from China. And they're not quite sure what's happening to them. So this goes back to that criminal element of it. And he wants other options. You know, he just wants a longer runway so you can get the bigger planes that come in, which make the flights cheaper, and you're more likely to be able to get these the tourists coming in on the direct flights, and not from China, but from countries where tourists are actually tourists.
One more aspect of the Free Associated States, the compact states, Marshalls, Micronesia, Palau, is that, according to Clio's reporting to Congress, there are an extraordinary percentage of U.S. veterans in these islands. And what is the present opinion of the U.S. government with these U.S. veterans? Is there a special relationship? Are they asked to participate in supporting the U.S. in good intentions? Anything like that, Clio?
Sadly, not. And just to give you an idea, the president of Palau was saying that about 5% of their high school graduates joined the U.S. military. And this is something that's been going on for a long time. The chief negotiator for the compact in Micronesia is a retired U.S. Marine colonel. He's a Micronesian who served in the U.S. Marines. You know, the relationship is very close, but Veterans Affairs has really not done what it needs to do for these men and women. These countries are so close to the U.S. that they actually have American postal codes. So it's considered domestic mail between these countries and the U.S. But the VA won't even post them their medicines as they do with veterans in the U.S. It's very hard for them to get services. The president here was saying that, you know, they had a case recently where a veteran came back with PTSD and couldn't get services, and whether that's related or not, but he took his own life. And that, you know, that resonates across the entire community. You know, we trusted our sons and daughters to you, the United States. We are trusting our whole countries to you, the United States. And, you know, we very much hope that you treat us, you know, just with a bit of respect, and don't throw us away after you're done with us.
The testimony before Congress, how the compacts of free association support U.S. interests and counter the PRC's influence is available online. We're going to go to Cleo's thoughts about her testimony to Congress and what she learned in the dialogue, the Q&A. It was all extremely bipartisan and friendly and curious, led by a member of Congress, Radewagon, Ms. Radewagon. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.